This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
For every three babies that are born, there's one that doesn't make it. It's estimated that almost a third of all pregnancies won't progress or will end in a miscarriage. And while it's something that so many women experience, it is different for everyone. Some will go through a period of intense grieving. For others, it's just a minor temporary setback on the path to parenthood. Tracy Slater is a writer and a mum, and she's one of the contributors to The Sound of Silence, Journeys Through Miscarriage, which is an anthology of people's personal stories about their experience with miscarriage. Now, Tracy's also worked as a nurse and a midwife for 20 years. Welcome to the show, Tracy. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a bit of a, it's a bit of a difficult topic to talk about, isn't it? Why do you think there needs to be a book like this one?
I think because the loss of a baby through miscarriage is such a lonely experience. Mm. It is a different experience for everyone, but if you read through the stories, there's a theme that keeps coming up that the woman is alone. Mm. She's the only person who's had a relationship with the pregnancy, really. Mm. And I think this book addresses that really well. It shows women that they are not alone, that there have been many women that have been through this experience and are happy to tell their story. And women who have been through the experience, and if they want to read the book, will find that there's something that they recognise in it, in themselves. Mm. I certainly did when I read through it. I thought, oh yeah, I had that and I went through this. And
I think that's a really important thing about this book, the fact that there's a lot of different contributors. Because I know for me, you know, I had a miscarriage, I was given this book, and it was written by this lady who'd lost one child, and I think I might have lost three by this stage or something. I can't quite remember. But I remember thinking, I don't really relate to your experience. And so I think having this book with a number of different stories in it could be really helpful, because hopefully people can find something that they relate to.
Yeah. I mean, there's 22 stories in there, mm-hmm. Different perspectives, different circumstances, women of different ages, all going through the same experience.
So, Tracy, can you tell us a little bit about what happened to you?
Well, I was probably started having my children a little bit late in the piece. My first pregnancy was when I was 36, and it was a twin pregnancy, which I didn't know at the time. But what I noticed was that my symptoms of pregnancy were becoming less as I progressed. Oh. I hadn't had any ultrasounds or anything at that stage. And then I started to get a little bit of spotting, which I knew that some women can have, you know, in early pregnancy. But that, coupled with the lessening symptoms and being a midwife too, I thought that there's something wrong here.
Yeah, right.
But nothing else happened. And I went for a nuchal translucency scan at about 13 weeks. Mm. And there were two sacs, pregnancy sacs, with a very, very tiny little
fetal pole
inside. Mm. I could tell myself that that was not a normal image, and I, you know, started crying straight away, and that was it.
I always think it's so sad when it happens on the first pregnancy, isn't it? It's not uncommon. I know a number of people who've lost their first pregnancy, but it must just make it really hard the next time, because normally that first pregnancy is so full of joy, but then when you're going back, there has to be that next level of anxiety. So what happened next? Were you able to fall pregnant again? And
yeah, quite quickly, within 4 months, which, given my age, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I had a normal full-term baby.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. But then I went on to have a further two miscarriages, and then I had my son.
Okay.
And then another miscarriage. And then by that time I was over 40, and I thought, well, it's time to stop,
Give up, It's fantastic that your second pregnancy worked out, but having had four miscarriages, you know, did you have moments of despair, or did you sort of always stay hopeful and positive?
Well, I generally am quite a positive, hopeful person, but at the same time, I didn't really trust my body to do the job, not really. So there were a lot of mixed feelings, trying to stay positive and on the other hand, thinking it probably will go wrong again. It was an emotional nightmare, really.
Yeah. And what was the hardest thing for you during that time that you were going through this?
I guess after the first miscarriage, I thought, I'm never going to be a mother. That was really hard.
Mm.
And at that stage, my vision in my mind of being a mother was having three children. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to achieve this. It's not going to happen. It was very hard to go through that.
And you must have, I guess, had a period of kind of a slow, gradual period of adjusting your expectations.
Yeah.
You start out thinking, I'm going to be mum, I'm going to have three kids. And then gradually start thinking, well, maybe I'll only have two, or maybe I'll only have one.
Maybe have one, or maybe none. Yeah.
A bit of a recurring theme with miscarriage tends to be the unhelpful things that people say, usually when they're trying to minimise what you've lost, and they think they're trying to make you feel better. But did you have that experience of people saying things that you found weren't particularly helpful?
I actually had a lot. And I was so pleased that after my first miscarriage, I saw a social worker who had warned me that this would happen.
Well, that's good.
And so I was ready for it. And I got unhelpful comments in spades.
What were some of the things that people said that you found hurtful at the time?
Don't worry, you'll get pregnant again. It's like someone saying, oh, your husband died. Oh, doesn't matter. You'll get married again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, there's plenty more men out there. Well, really?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Plenty more fish
I like this
see.
One. Yeah.
There was a bit of miscarriage competition, I call it,
okay.
Where you know you tell someone you had a miscarriage, and then they tell you that they've had miscarriages too, but theirs was somehow worse.
Oh, right.
There is no worse.
No.
And
it's interesting that question people always ask, how far along were you? So it's like as if you weren't very far along, well, then it's probably not very painful or something.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a potential person that you would have given birth to. It doesn't matter if it's a ball of cells or if you've gone a bit further along, it doesn't matter. The grief is still the same.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's still the loss of that future child. And what do you think is a helpful way then? Because people often ask me, well, what is a good way to respond if you hear somebody's had a miscarriage? Do you have any thoughts about that, Tracy, about the things that people said that were okay?
Yeah. I really feel that the loss needs to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Something even simple like, I'm sorry you lost your baby, is enough. And then being in a space where you can invite the person who's lost the baby to speak. I feel that some people really feel that they ought to say something, and it often comes out not quite right.
Yeah.
Quite right, or it's not helpful or comforting. In fact, it can be the opposite.
Mm.
I just think being present is probably the best thing, playing it by ear. If the woman is grieving, if she wants to scream and be angry or just be withdrawn, or however the woman wants to be who's lost her baby, I think that's fine. The other person who's present with them needs to probably understand that it's okay to let that happen and not to have any shoulds in their head about how a grief reaction should be.
Yeah, right. Mm. That's really interesting. Yeah, I always felt that if people treated it in a similar way they would to a death in the family, then that's usually going to be a good response. So, you know, obviously if you met someone and their grandfather or their mother had just died, you wouldn't just ignore it. You would say, I'm really sorry to hear about your loss. And then you'd give them space to talk about it or not want to talk about it.
Absolutely. There's a funny story, actually. I know it's a serious subject, but I remember after my first miscarriage, there was a very sympathetic nurse who did my aftercare, and I was in the holding room where they take your blood pressure and everything to make sure you're okay before they send you home. And I remember going in there, and the nurse said to me, oh, you poor thing. You know, she was being very sympathetic, and she said, would you like a cup of tea? And I said, yes, I'd love one. And she said, well, it's over there in the corner. There's the milk and the sugar.
Help yourself.
Now, if I'd lost my husband or other significant other, I don't think I'd be shuffled off somewhere to make my own cuppa.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought. This is quite low in the hierarchy of losses here.
Yes. Yeah, make your own cup of tea.
Yeah, off you go, love.
And did you find that, I don't know, a lot of people say when they've had a miscarriage that suddenly there are babies everywhere. Did you experience that?
I don't really remember because at the time as well, I was a postnatal midwife.
Oh, gosh,
I worked on a postnatal ward. There were literally
babies everywhere.
But what I had to do is dissociate myself from that.
Yeah.
It was, these people have had babies. That's their experience. It's not my experience.
Mm.
It's quite difficult to do that, but their babies are not my babies. So I guess as a sort of protective mechanism, I sort of dissociated the seeing other babies,
And how has your perspective changed, Tracy, now that you've got two healthy children? I mean, when you look back on it all now, do you look at it a little bit differently than when you were actually in it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The despair of, particularly after my first miscarriage, of feeling that I wouldn't be able to do it, to have a baby. And then when I did have a successful pregnancy, I was just over the moon. It was just wonderful. I think I was extra joyful, more than I would have been had I not had that first miscarriage. And then having the two miscarriages after that, the despair came again. And then when I was pregnant with my son, I was, you know, over the moon again. You could hardly keep me still. I was just so excited. And when I saw their heartbeats, I just somehow knew they'd be okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I hope there's someone listening to this who maybe will be drawing a little bit of hope from your story, Tracy, who might be in the thick of it right now and thinking, okay, there is hope. Maybe there is, you know, a positive ending that could happen for me as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for coming in to share your story.
Thank you for having me. It's good to have an opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, it is, because that's the thing. It can be a hard topic to talk about. That's Tracy Slater. She's a writer. She's a children's author. She also was a midwife and a nurse for 20 years, and she's one of the women who have contributed to this book. It's called The Sound of Silence, Journeys Through Miscarriage. It's published by Mostly for Mothers, and you can find them online. It's mostlyformothers.com.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.